Today on Real Radio.
If blood's thicker than water, then how much more thicker is the spirit over blood? All of us have family members who are not even really family members. I mean, they're related to us in blood. But how much more do we have a relationship in the spirit? There's things I can share with you that I would never share with my family. Why? Because spirit's thicker than blood.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher begins a new series which takes us through two letters written by Paul to a younger pastor named Timothy. They're known commonly as 1 and 2 Timothy, and sometimes mistakenly viewed as having information valuable to those only in full-time ministry. Yet every believer is in the ministry 24/7, thereby being able to glean valuable advice from these epistles. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
I want to read this to you. I think it sets the stage for this very book. This was posted in the London Times. Men wanted for a hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. This advertisement appeared in the London Times newspaper. Thousands of men responded. It was signed by a noted Arctic explorer, Sir Ernest Shackleton. And that made the difference. If Jesus Christ had advertised for workers, the announcement might have read like this: Men and women wanted for a difficult task to help build my church. You will often be misunderstood, even by those who are working with you side by side. You will face constant attack from an invisible enemy. You may not see the results of your labor, and your full reward will not come until you're dead. It may cost you your home, your ambitions, and even your life. That's heavy. Yet that's exactly the time which Paul was writing to Timothy, a time that was very perilous and very, very dangerous to the church and to the ministry. And the beautiful thing about this beautiful epistle that Paul writes to Timothy is that it's concerning a very local church. Timothy was pastor of the church there in Ephesus. And Paul writes to him, Timothy's young, Paul is aged, and Paul is handing literally the baton of faith to Timothy. Paul, in this particular book here, has just gotten out of prison. He was arrested. In fact, it's really radical. Paul was ministering, and maybe you remember the prophet by the name of Agabus. Remember him? Paul was there ministering, and a prophet came down from Jerusalem and said to all the people, the man whose belt I'm tying myself up with right now, and a prophetic thing that Agabus lived out before the disciples, this man who owns this belt will be bound and imprisoned in Jerusalem. And everybody began to cry. Oh, Paul, he's talking about you. And it's really hilarious as you read that portion of scripture in the book of Acts. Paul looks around and he says, you're breaking my heart. I mean, and he says to them, stop it. And they're all crying and shriveling, and they're rubbing their nose on their robes. And Paul says, now stop it. Do you think for a moment I care if I'm bound and thrown in prison in Jerusalem? I'm not going to let this thing bother me. But the amazing thing is the Holy Spirit was speaking through Agabus. It says right there in the Bible. Yet Paul the Apostle said, hey, I'm going ahead. I'm committed to the ministry. I don't care if I'm shipwrecked. I don't care if I'm bound or beaten. I'm going. Well, you know what? Paul went to Jerusalem. He was arrested, just as the prophet said, and he was led captive away. The writing or the penning here of 1 Timothy is just after his release. And he's an older man now, in his 60s. And he writes this book after his freedom from his first imprisonment, and it's not too long after, sad to say, that Paul will be arrested again. But this time he will not be judged under Caesar, he will be judged under Nero, and out there on the Appian Way, Paul will lose his life for the gospel. But I want you to realize something right now as we really go forward this morning in the introduction of this book. That simply what Paul is doing to Timothy, he's handing the book over. He's handing the torch over. In the book of Kings, one of my favorite books in all of the Bible, you've got a man plowing a field. He's got his oxen and he's just cruising along like you see these guys out here in Chino plowing up the field. Instead of John Deere tractors, he had two oxen. And he's plowing along, and his name was Elijah. And Elijah, who was known up to run 50 miles in a day, comes flying across the field with his Nikes on or something. This guy's moving. And Elijah was a radical guy. He had his hair flowing, his long beard, and he's just runs across the field. And there's Elijah, just, you know. And when God calls, sometimes he calls in radical, bizarre ways. Elijah's doing his normal daily thing. Elijah comes running by on his way in the ministry, takes his mantle or his poncho in our day, takes it off and throws it on the back of Elijah. And Elijah immediately recognizes, I'm being called into the ministry. Elijah, let me go say goodbye to my mom and dad. And Elijah says, hey, I haven't done anything to you. If you want to be caught up in the things of the world, that's your trip. You know, give me back my mantle. I'm out of here. And I tell you, Elijah says, hang on, time out. He kills the oxen, breaks up the plow, and sacrifices to God, puts on his tennis shoes and says, let's go. He's called into the ministry. Timothy had been called, but he was weak. He was fragile. Timothy's a very timid man. He's afraid of stepping out. Paul, the seasoned saint, comes to him and hands the baton over. And I kind of like that a lot. Some of you I know so often want an answer. You call up or you come by and you go, thus and so, and I don't know. I'll pray about it. And you know, I don't know about you, but I've always been told, and maybe you're thinking this, well, if he's just blowing me off, he'll say, I'll pray about it. Like, that's kind of like pastor's lingo to get rid of the people. Well, I'll pray about it. Shoo. Well, not here. I mean, I'm really concerned. I'm kind of fearful about what I might say, so I'm going to wait and pray about it. You know, Timothy was like that. He kind of put his foot out and kind of searched around a little bit before he put his foot down and put his weight on it. But the wonderful thing is Paul here is literally reproducing a disciple, an apostle, a follower of Jesus Christ. And I began to think about that. In the book of Exodus, chapter 119, there's a satanic attack to destroy God's kids that are being born in the nation there of Egypt. But they're Israelites, and Satan's got a plan to destroy God's people. And so the issue goes out from Pharaoh and says, kill the babies when they're coming out. Kill them. And the great thing is, the Egyptian women come back to Pharaoh and they say, we can't kill these kids. I mean, these Jewish women are cranking out babies left and right. And they're so lively. And that's really cute because you know what that means? They are very, very vigorous and productive. Hey man, they get up there and they produce another Jewish baby. They're very lively. They're very vigorous. Here's Paul producing another Christian, schooling him, producing another pastor. And it's blessed. He's very lively. He's very vigorous. I love that. Jesus Christ says in John 17:6, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you have given them to me. And they have kept your word, Jesus says. In John 17:18, he says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. In John 17:20, Jesus says again, I do not pray for these alone, but for all those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus prayed for us before we were ever born, that we would be very productive, that we would have the word of God dwelling within us. But here Paul is handing the baton over to Timothy. And I began to look at this and study this, and it challenged my own heart. Am I handing the baton over in my own family, in my own home? But the beautiful thing is that a baton's been handed to us. And am I handing that baton over to you? Am I handing it to my children, to my own home first? And I began to think about that. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, the Bible tells us, take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things that you have seen with your eyes, and lest they depart out of your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord, your God, when the Lord said, gather the people. God is telling the people of Israel, man, you better teach it to your kids. There needs to be a heritage. And I love this because if blood, listen, if blood is thicker than water, you hear that a lot in the world. If blood's thicker than water, then how much more thicker is the spirit over blood? All of us have family members who are not even really family members. I mean, they're related to us in blood. But how much more do we have a relationship in the spirit? There's things I can share with you that I would never share with my family. Why? Because spirit's thicker than blood. Is there a baton handing over as the sprinter comes around that turn? Is the baton being handed over to the next one? Are our children being taught doctrine? Are they growing in the faith? Well, yeah, they come on Sundays and they come every Wednesday. But that's not it. That's only a supplement. Are you being diligent to teach your children in your own home? Are we like Paul the Apostles and our children, little Timothy's? Are we handing the Word of God to them? Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 says, you shall teach them to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit down in your house and when you walk in the way. When you go on a vacation, what do you talk about? Do you kind of punch out on Christianity and live it up? Or do you point at the trees and point at the beach and the mountains and school them in the way of the Lord? It says there you need to teach them when you're lying down with them and when you rise up in the morning. You shall bind them as a sign on your head, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And that word frontlets is literally to bound them around their head, and I like that. Is the Word of God going into the ears of your children, in the ears of your husband, in the ears of your wife? Is it going into their eyes? Is it binding them up and ensconcing really their whole head? Their areas of perception, the ears and the eyes. And this is incredible because there's no doubt in our minds that Paul was handing that baton over to Timothy in a very powerful way. The Bible says here now, and we'll read through it and come back. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. First of all, this man, Paul, the author of, listen, 27 books of the New Testament, 14 of them were penned by Paul. If you include the book of Hebrews, and I do, I think the evidence is overwhelming. Paul authoring 14 of the 27 books. This man's experienced in the faith. He was a beautiful man. He was born in Tarsus, making him freeborn in the Roman Empire. He was a citizen of Rome, though he was a Jew. Circumcised the eighth day. He was a Pharisee. Not only was he a Pharisee, and you know all about Pharisees after coming through Matthew, but he was the son of a Pharisee. He was schooled under Gamaliel, one of the greatest philosophers of the entire age. Still, his writings are looked at today. Paul was incredibly brilliant. He was very, very gifted in his mind. But the interesting thing is, Paul was not so much gifted in his physical appearance. Church history tells us that he was about 5 feet in height at best. And he was very bow-legged. He was very bald on the top of his head. Now, I'm going to panic. I'm on that route now. If I get shorter, my legs start bulging out. There had better be an incline in my spirituality, or else I'll be a very bummed boy. If you're going to get that ugly for the Lord, you better be good. But Paul was good for the Lord. He was very good for the Lord. And I want to read this to you. It's taken out of one of the ancient writers. It says this. This was the command of the fathers towards their sons in Israel. Number one, to circumcise their son, to teach him the law, and to teach him a trade. Not only was Paul very gifted, the guy was an incredible scholar, but the man was blessed with his hands. He was a tent maker, and his father had taught him how to build tents. And for the early part and much of Paul's ministry, his ministry was funded by his own hands, which I think is very precious. I want you guys to focus on one thing. This man's name now is Paul, the apostle. It wasn't always Paul. His name was Saul. You know that, and he was riding his little donkey on the way to Jerusalem to kill Christians. And he's heading up north there, northeast from Jerusalem, heading up to Damascus, and Jesus Christ appears to him, knocks him off his little pony. And I love his response. He says, oh, wow, man. No, he says, Lord, Lord. He sees Jesus Christ, and Jesus changes his name. Your name's not Saul. People are going to start calling you Paul. And the word Saul means demanding or demand. Here's this little guy. You know, have you ever seen little people that drive big cars? Not little people, little men. Little men drive big cars most of the time. There's like a complex. Paul, whose name is Saul, was a little man, and his name means demanding. He comes in, storms in the gates. Now, you know him from the book of Acts. The guy's incredibly, incredibly gung-ho and zealous. But his name means demanding. God changes his name to Paul, which means little. I kind of detect that God had to humble him just a bit. From Saul the demanding to Paul the little. Remember Peter? His name was Cephas. Rock. Rocky. He comes to Jesus Christ, and Jesus calls him Pebbles. Or Pebble. Little stone. Peter. I like that. That's encouraging. And I began to think, you know, gosh, Lord, what's my new name? Because the Bible says he's going to give us a new name. And I wonder what it is. I mean, Jack. In the Hebrew, it means fool. But, you know, as I began to look at that, and I asked yesterday, Lord, what's my name? What's my name? Because I've been called a lot of names, and some of them are very accurate. But you know what? Jesus calls me a different name. You know what's precious about that? This is what the Lord spoke to my heart. Now, if he speaks this to your heart, that's cool, and I'll let you have it. But it's mine. He calls me friend. He says, I've called you friend. You're not only my servant, but you're my friend. Man, I love you. You're my friend. And that's enough for me. That blessed my heart. For the God of the entire universe to call me friend, no longer Saul, no longer Cephas, no longer Jack, Jesus Christ calls me friend. And that's good news. And maybe this morning you feel like you don't have a friend. Jesus is your friend. Paul the Apostle, it says, of Jesus Christ. We talked about how gifted Paul was. We talked about his body and his appearance. I don't know if you're aware of this, but just years from the penning of this book right now, Paul will have his head, his beautiful, lofty mind, separated from his shoulders. And Paul says in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. This guy's gung-ho for God. Don't you want to be like that? He was committed. He was radical. I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Jesus Christ. There are saints that have gone on before us that have shown us the way and how to be and how to live. Paul is doing this to Timothy. In the book of Hebrews there, Paul says, man, imitate those who have inherited the promises. Walk like them, talk like them, move like them in the Spirit. And I love that. But Paul was filled with this beautiful, holy zeal. And so he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. There in your Bible, that word apostle, it literally means in the Greek, a sent one, an envoy, or a goer. He's a goer. Paul was a church planter. He was what we would call today just an absolute anointed missionary, though he was an apostle. I've been asked, do you think all the gifts of the Holy Spirit apply today? I think every one of them apply today. Well, how come we don't have any more apostles? First of all, we don't have any more of the apostles as it is recorded in the book of Acts that saw Jesus Christ physically. Those guys are gone who saw him physically. But do we have apostles who are raising people from the dead? Do we have apostles speaking in tongues to people who have never heard? Do we have apostles who are doing great exploits? The answer is absolutely yes. It's documented. Don't let your spiritual upbringing of a denomination persuade you. Read the Bible. And I think the closest thing we have today to an apostle is a missionary who's under the moving and under the empowering of the Holy Spirit. But as Paul was writing here, he says, an apostle, a sent one of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ. This word commandment is very, very interesting. The word literally means an injunction or a decree. God says to Paul, the mallet comes down, boom, you're called, Paul. And what's beautiful about this, and I want you to grab this, what's beautiful about this right here is that it suggests that Paul had nothing to do with it. The commandment came to Paul. The commandment came to him. It's his calling. It's his ministry. God says, Paul, you're an apostle. And I got to tell you right now, when things get rough, people, and things get scary, you had better know that you're called by God. Rather be in there because someone says you ought to be in there. Or, oh, you're so wonderful. You should take Billy Graham's place over. And so you run off and move to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, you better not move on the words of men.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's first letter to Timothy. It's one of two epistles that give valuable advice to us believers who want to learn the value of Scripture and the responsibility of maintaining the truth of God's written Word. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us again. Now, we just finished a fascinating series in the book of Acts, which largely speaks of the infancy of the church and, to a great extent, the conversion and ministry of the author of many New Testament letters. In fact, to better understand Paul's epistles, the book of Acts serves as a valuable guideline, a roadmap, as it were. To hear the series from the beginning, we've made it easy. What we've done is condensed its entirety all onto one MP3 CD. So again, we extend our usual offer. For your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send it your way. You can get in touch by calling, clicking, or writing. Here's our phone number. By the way, it's toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can click realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can do it the traditional way. Send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just mention it by name. The MP3 CD of the Book of Acts. Again, our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.